Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely great to be with you guys today. It's Saturday. There's college football on, which means it is time for the 49ers scouting report. We're going to be breaking down the 49ers versus Chiefs predictions, bets, more. Flagship program here. Appreciate everybody showing up. What's up? Hashtag CCs. We got Hugo, Niner Empire, RTP. I freaking love this, man. Today's going to be fun because, you know, we spend so much time diving into the Chiefs or whoever the opponent is every single week. The amount of film and, you know, shout out to my man Josh. He's executive producer of this series every week. Does such a good job. This game matters. It matters a lot. And, you know, there's nothing that you can do this week that can make your past wrongs, your past hurts heal. Man, imagine what it would be like if the 49ers actually do beat the Chiefs. Like, it's weird. There's almost like a spell that is on this team with the Chiefs. Yeah, we've only really lost to them four times, two times regular season, two times in the Super Bowl. And, you know, last time we beat them was 2014, but like it just seems like almost like a kryptonite or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just ugly. It's gross. And the cure to everything, it's just a win. You just win, and everything is great. You're 3-3. You win, you're 4-3. You're in first place anyway. Gosh, man, what this win would do. And right here, Dan, my man, he's like, I hope this goes like the Dallas game last year. Everybody thinking the game was going to be close, and then we just destroy them. That Dallas game last year was one of the top five 49ers moments of in-game, in-person, in-games that I was like there. That was unbelievable. It was awesome. All the Cowboys fans leaving at halftime. You just blew them out. Wasn't even a competition. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, that would be great. And that was kind of the moment where everything got put on notice. The whole NFL did, right? Then you had the Eagles game later on. And you know what? What's interesting is, you know, I'm not big on like this being a revenge game, but Brock Purdy was asked, you know, is this a revenge game or is it not? And here's what he had to say. It even brings up the Eagles game last year.
Say so. Only because, you know, a couple years ago we played the Eagles. It was a playoff game, NFC Championship, and then whatever happened, and then boom, you got a whole new situation. You got to focus on the 2023 season. And it's similar deals last year with the Super Bowl. That was the Super Bowl. Obviously, we wanted to win it and everything. Didn't go our way, but now it's 2024. Man, it's a regular season game. It's the next opponent for us. We have some new guys on our team. Some guys that have left. I've said this before, but like, you know, this is the 2024 49ers going against the 2024 Chiefs, and so for us, we're focusing on the next team up. Are we trying to go out and get our revenge and get all this stuff? That's not our mindset. And if it was, I think we wouldn't be able to play at our best and play at our standard. Our standard is to be our best no matter who we're playing right now in the present, not looking back in the past, not looking too far ahead in the future, but where we're at right now. So that's our mindset.
So where you got to be. And, you know, it's, you know, from my coaching experience, like there were just certain teams that would go on runs against you. You would go on runs against them, and it'd show up. We lost to a team in the playoffs twice, and golly, man, the amount of hate that brewed against that team was just palpable. And so you got to go do it. Look, Bobo, speaking my language, beat them at least once. Gosh darn it. Yeah, there it is. That's my curse words, whatever. I'm trying not to curse words. Thank you, Bobo, for voicing kind of what we all feel. Because you got to go out there. You got to take care of business. What's up, Alejandro? So let's do this. Oh, look at this. Rainier starting my birthday right, catching a live John Chapman stream. That's what's up. Well, happy birthday, Rainier. May the gifts flow from above and the 49ers get another dub this weekend, man. You deserve it, and I hope you have a great one. And, dude, we celebrate you because you are the best of the best, my friend. All right, Chiefs, they're 5-0. You start with that, you're like, ah, crap. One of two undefeated teams, them and the Vikings. They're first in the AFC West. And so, like, okay, that's where you start. You're just like, oh, wow, 5-0, they're undefeated and coming off a bye week? Yikes. But then you start watching tape, and I'm going to be very honest with you. As somebody that just watches tape, like, I almost want to tell people that's my job. Like, when people are like, oh, what do you do? And I'm always like, I don't know how to answer this without sounding like a complete tool. As like, I make 49ers videos and podcasts. I don't like saying content creator. I hate that. Content curator. Nobody knows what that is, but I do like that tone. I was like, yeah, I just, you know, I just talk 49ers and throw parties and hang out with awesome people. And then question starts like, it always ends the same way. People actually like watch that. And I'm like, yeah, some do. Awesome people do. Like right here. Like Dan Case, like all these, like Mark P, baby. But anyway, so as a person, like I want to say, all I do is just watch football tape. That's what I do. Like that's, I spend more time in a week watching tape than I probably do anything else. Right. So that's my, that's why I should tell people I watch football tape. That's what I do. So as somebody who just watches all the 49ers tape all the time, and then whoever we play, I'm going to be honest with you. This is not the best team that we have played this year. It's not. The Vikings are. Now, are the Vikings better than the Chiefs? That's not what I'm saying. Are the 49ers better than the Chiefs? That's not what I'm saying either. I'm saying the more tape I watched of the Chiefs, the more and more it was like, eh, all right, eh. Yeah, okay. Like, even the defense, which is really, really good, and the defense is way better than the Chiefs' offense. But still, the more I watched, I was just like, yeah, they're good. Nah. They're not, like, unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. They're just not that. This is by far Patrick Mahomes' worst start to any season that he's had. And now, that's not to say Patrick Mahomes is bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, man, even his tape and his stats and the analytics all agree. He's not an elite quarterback yet. Could that change? Obviously. Does he have good tools around him? He does not. Injuries, whatever else. But like, man, yeah, David, right here. The Chiefs defense and special teams is carrying them 100%. And like everybody's like, well, we're not as good as we were last year. Man, we missed our opportunity. Right. But the Chiefs defense is not near as good as it was last year. It is not. Again, as somebody that broke down all the film leading up to the Super Bowl and break down all the film leading up to this game, they're not the same. Yeah, their record's better, and you are what your record says you are at the end of the day. I understand that, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Kelce, yeah, he's good. He's effective. He's efficient. He's not the same Kelce. Father Time has arrived. Now, can he, off of a bye week, probably going to look a little bit better than he has in the past? I get that. And how freaking frustrating is it? You play a Thursday night game on the road. You get 10 days rest, and you're still at a four-day rest disadvantage. God, that's frustrating. And guess what? Next week, Cowboys are on a bye right now. Man, the NFL schedule makers are horrible people. That is just wrong what they did. Now, Chris Jones, that dude, if there's one guy on the Chiefs team that's like, okay, well, who's better than they were last year? It's Chris Jones. Now, his sacks, he's only got 3 sacks, but he is absolutely balling. That dude, he's as impactful a defensive lineman as they're in the NFL. He's the 3rd highest rated defensive tackle. He's got a 90.2 grade. Okay. One of the guys that are ahead of him is Cameron Hayward, absolute stud Hall of Famer, Walter Payton Man of the Year, one of my favorite people in the NFL, 91.1. And then number one, this is awesome. The whole show should be titled this. Do you want to know who the number one defensive tackle in the entire NFL is from PFF? Mr. Anderson. That's right. Evan Anderson has the highest PFF grade, even higher than Chris Jones. Now, he's only played like 34 snaps, but he's got a 91.8. And I'm sitting here and I'm just like, ah, are we even going to activate this guy? Like, he's on a practice squad. What are we waiting for? What are we messing with? We finally get a playmaker. They did right with Sam O. Now you got to do right with Evan Anderson. Dude, get this guy on the 53. He is by far the best defensive tackle you had. Yeah, I get small sample size, but I put his 34 snaps against anybody's best 34 snaps. It's not even close. Maybe Malik Collins, but that's a maybe. Like, come on, man. Get this dude activated. Anyway, all that to say, Chris Jones is a beast. I get it. Now, let's look at points scored. They're 19th. They are below average in points scored. They're not lighting up anything. They haven't scored over 30 points, I think, in like 15 consecutive games. Now, the flip side of that is points allowed. They're third. That comment about, you know, the defense and special teams carrying them, that is factual. They are third in points allowed. And while I did say they haven't allowed, they haven't had a 30-point offensive performance in 15 straight games, they haven't given up 30 points in, I think, like 30. That defense is for real. It's good. It's not as good as it was last year, but it is good. Now, who have they played? They played Baltimore week one, and that was like, you know, should have went to overtime, one more blade of grass. Like, those teams were pretty even. Even with the refs doing what the refs do. Cincinnati, that win was 100% on the refs. Obviously, the Chiefs kept it close, but they should not have won that game. They should not have won that game. That was a ridiculous call. But Mahomes and the Chiefs are always going to get the benefit of the doubt. That's just what it is. Barely beat Atlanta, one possession. Barely beat the Chargers. They won 17-10. That came down to the last couple minutes. And they did dominate the Saints, who lost Derek Carr in that game, 26-13. So four out of five of their games, one possession games, were, you know, three of those they got bailed out with some official calls that helped them get there. Not saying they would have lost those games, but at worst, overtime, the Cincinnati game, they would have lost. Without the refs making a horrible call, yeah, 100% they would have lost the game. But here we are. Here we are. And, you know, perhaps good news is they play us, and then they got to go play the Raiders at Las Vegas, where they got embarrassed last year. So they've got a two-game stretch, and actually, it keeps going. This is the Chiefs' schedule after us. At San Francisco, at Las Vegas Raiders, Tampa Bay, that's no joke of a team, then at Buffalo. So the Chiefs got a four-game skid here. And I'm sitting there just like, man, do you know what? Like, what if the 49ers go out there and put a little whooping on them? It's possible. Kind of send them on their way. Our competition isn't the Chiefs, right? They're in the AFC, but every time the Chiefs lose, a 49ers fan gets a hat, or what's the wings reference, right? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Every time the Chiefs lose, a 49ers fan gets a hat. Maybe that's what we got to do. So, yeah, we'll have to see that. And so, you know, maybe the 49ers can go out there and kind of do what they got to do. Oh, Michael Pickle, what's up, brother? He says, say what's up to Jess. He says, John, I need the Niners to win. You know, my wife won't let me hear the end of it. She reminds me all the time. I just need one win against the Chiefs. Yeah, she's awesome, but not this week. And man, we've been together too many times. It's time for her to get some payback. You know, you got to, yeah. Yeah. Do it for Michael. You know what I'm talking about? And like, all of us have these horror stories, and we all know people. I went to grad school in Kansas City. My coaching buddies, you know, that I go ski on that ski trip with every year, like freaking my best friend, dude, freaking Chiefs fan, already talking trash. And this week is personal to me because one, the Longhorns are going to play Georgia today. Most of my family are Bulldogs, right? And so my cousin's talking trash. And I mean, this week matters. I'm just saying, let's go Texas. Let's go 49ers. You guys are with me for half of that. That's okay. RTP, yeah. The Aints, they've lost five in a row. They're in sell now mode. And there's a couple guys I would love to trade for over there. I just got to be honest. Oh, yeah. Mark, can we break the Chiefs like we broke the Eagles, please? That would be absolutely wonderful. Oh, man. Bobo, every time Patrick Mahomes fails a third down conversion, he magically gets a new set of downs, courtesy of the refs. Yeah, it's the Jordan rules. You know what I mean? Like, it's what it is. Yeah, it's what it is. Right here, Dan. John, can you explain why the Niners were fined $100,000 in the Cardinals game? I think that was when Trey McBride was punking Charvarius Ward, and all of his teammates ran out of the way except for one, and that was Dre Greenlaw coming in street clothes, started thumping on that dude. Respect. One, I do not care anything about Jed York's money. This does not affect the salary cap or whatever. He paid his fine. It's 100 grand. I don't care about that. It goes to charity. And Dre Greenlaw got fined, even though he wasn't even out there. But, yeah, you can't have undressed players, coaches. This is the Big Dom thing. Except the difference was they're like 10 yards on our sidelines versus when Dom did it to our guy, we were literally on the playing field. It's different. It's different. But, yeah, I think the fine was appropriate, and I loved it. How did the 49ers respond after that? That's the question. Yeah, we lost that Cardinals game, but then they came out and freaking thumped the Seahawks, right? So, like, I've been saying all freaking year, like, what's your identity? Where's the physicality? You got to bully these guys. What are you going to get out of this? You know what I mean? And so that's huge. Now, we talked about points scored and against for the Chiefs, for the 49ers. We're sixth in points scored, 162 points scored. Points against, we're 15th, right at average. We have an average defense, to say the least. I don't think anybody would confuse us with the top five defense with the way we've been coached, with the weaknesses we have out there with guys like Devondre Campbell, our safety position, defensive line rotations, rough. There's major issues. There's major issues. So we're an average team defense. That's just what we are. Can you go out there, and if you win this against the Chiefs, guess what? It's the first time this year you've won back-to-back games. We have not started a win streak, right? Go back to the major league. You win one game. That's called a win. You get two games. Now you've got a winning streak, like, right? It's like, that's where we're at. Like, can we do that? We're tearing off the pieces of the odor dress. I don't know if that's appropriate nowadays. great movie, man. I freaking love that movie. Anyway,
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition, now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Okay, how weird does it feel to be called someone's fiancé? The first time you hear it, you do a double take. Your heart kind of flutters, and before you know it, you go from let's just enjoy the moment to we're planning a fall wedding. That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place and have fun along the way. From free planning tools like a budget tracker and website to a venue and vendor discovery tool that matches you with your dream team. Everything on Zola is designed to make your wedding journey as easy as possible. And with invites that can be completely customized and a wedding registry packed with gifts you actually want, Zola takes you from save our date to thank so much without breaking a sweat. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You win this game, that gives you back-to-back wins, and then you play Dallas at home, then a bye week. Like, man, if you go into this bye week with a nice three-game win streak, whew, be 5-3 in first place, man, that would be sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Now, then you got the bye week. Guess what? After that week, you got Tampa Bay. That's going to be a fun, fun game, and I've got some news. I'm very, very excited. Pleased to announce. We have finalized. We're going to Tampa Bay with the 49ers Rush Road Trip.com. Go check it out. And not just us going, though. That's right. The legend, Frank the Tank, the Inconvenient Truth. Frank Gore is going to be partying with us again. Man, I love that man. He's going to be with us Saturday, November 9th. Our party is going to be from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Brick House Tavern. The 49ers official invasion, we kind of have to wait for them to announce so that we can kind of, you know, I don't like pulling fans in different ways. We were going to have it on the beach in Clearwater. That got destroyed by the hurricane. We were going to have this awesome pool party venue. That got destroyed by the second hurricane. So we're going to be at the Brick House Tavern. It is right next to the official 49ers invasion. So you go to theirs. Theirs is like 11 to 2. Once you're done there, come say what's up with us. Frank Gore is going to be there doing meet and greets, autographs, if that's your thing. Kids get in free, but everybody else needs tickets. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. That's the day before. Then for the tailgate, oh man, we're going to have a huge tailgate. So excited. One block east of Raymond James Stadium. We rented out an entire freaking parking lot field. It's going to be epic. So we do have limited spots at both of those. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. If you don't get tickets, if we sell out, then it's what it is. And so I always say, you know, whenever you buy your ticket, you're guaranteed entry to both those things. We don't like to oversell. We like to undersell. And then hopefully we have extra spots we can give out. But I'm just telling you, capacity, last time we had Frank Gore, not everybody got in. So if you're thinking about it, go get your tickets. That's what's going to be up. Now, let's switch over to our analytical kind of overview snapshot of this game. You got the Chiefs, okay? Offense, this is from PFF, they're sixth ranked. Defense, seventh. Special teams, 10th. Overall, seventh. That's a PFF snapshot. So let's do the same thing for the 49ers. Offense, second. Defense, fifth. I have no clue. And the big reason why our defense is ranked so high because of PFF is because of Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Evan Anderson, and D'Amador Lenore. Their scores are just off the charts. And so that's carrying a lot of the dead weight on the defense and the coordinator who has not done well yet. Hopefully that continues to improve, though. Special teams, 19th. That blocked, the block kick, that was huge. We're just not good on special teams. I'm terrified, guys. I am legitimately terrified of our special teams. Yeah, we are most weeks. This time, coming off a bye week and a very aggressive coaching staff, Whew, I don't like it. Me no gusta. I don't like it at all. Now, let's talk about their coaching staff. The great Andy Reid, going to be a Hall of Famer. He's great. Here, let's start, before we go through his kind of coaching career and what he's established, here's Kyle Shanahan talking about Andy Reid and kind of how he's changed his offense and adapted it through the years.
I mean, I think it features around their quarterback, obviously, puts them in a great position to make a ton of plays, and he has a guy who can make a ton of plays. You know, they always dabble in all screens, RPOs. You always got to be ready for new plays, one that you haven't seen, and always enjoyed watching Andy since he was back in Philly, and he continues to evolve also.
Now, three-time Super Bowl champ. He had one with an assistant as an assistant coach with Green Bay as Super Bowl 31. He was coach of the year in 2002. He's awesome. He's a damn good coach. Now, there's a lot of major issues with Andy Reid. Character is just not a concern. He does not care if you hurt women or children. Him and Brett Veach do not care at all. What you do off the field does not matter. It is win and win only. A lot of people endorse that. I do not. I am very thankful that my son doesn't have to wear a jersey with somebody that beats or, you know, allegedly hurts women and children repeatedly. He trades for those people. I mean, he's not a good person. You look at his family, not good. It's not good. And just the empowerment of people to do bad things continuously really bothers me to always put those people in the spotlight. Now, nepotism. We got a Shanahan on one side. That's right. His youngest son, Spencer, is the assistant strength and conditioning coach. Team Nepo, baby. It's all across the NFL. It's what it is. Not to say Spencer doesn't deserve it, but it is what it is. Coaching career started off at BYU. Coached at San Francisco State for 3 years as an offensive line coach. Went to Northern Arizona, UTEP, Missouri. Then he got his shot at Green Bay in 1992. This dude coached his way up and is incredible. He's an innovator on the field, X's and O's, quarterback-friendly system. He's really good at what he did. I mean, just awesome. He was in, you know, Philadelphia for 14 years, made it to four NFC championships, made it to a Super Bowl, didn't win any of those, got fired, then went to Kansas City, picked up where he left off, traded for Alex Smith. They were awesome. And again, he's been in Kansas City since 2013, never had fewer than 9 wins. And that was, you know, a couple seasons before Patrick Mahomes. But he never won a Super Bowl until he had the best quarterback on the planet. Never won a Super Bowl until he did. And it's so funny. Like, the funniest thing to me is whenever people say, man, we need to fire Shanahan to get somebody like Andy Reid. And I'm just like, do you not understand how stupid it is what you just said on many levels? And I understand. Hey, I'm not trying to attack people, but I'm going to attack people. Andy Reid, if you're like, well, he just, Kyle Shanahan can't win the big game. And then you like put in the fact that Andy Reid would be the better coach. It took Andy Reid over 20 years before he won a Super Bowl as a head coach. 20. Kyle Shanahan's on 8. Like, yeah, you've got a full time and a half. You got 2.5 more times to go around this revolution of Shanahan before you even get to the point where Andy Reid was. And on top of that, has Andy Reid ever won the Super Bowl when he didn't have the best quarterback on the planet? That will always be something that is important in like the mythical best head coaches ever. And Andy Reid deserves to be involved in that conversation. The character concerns, that's going to knock him down several pegs for me. And then the fact that he's only done it whenever he had, you know, Patrick Mahomes. That's, oh, thank you. Oh, look at this. That's what I needed to see. Lee, my man. He says, attack away, John. Gosh, I miss you, brother. I hope all is well, man. Hope all is well. So that's Andy Reid. He's great. I mean, he's awesome. And probably the best play caller in the NFL. And that was before he had Patrick Mahomes. And like, you could get into those debates. Is it McVay? Is it Shanahan? Is it McDaniel? Is it Reid? Is it Ben Johnson? Like, there's guys that you could talk about. Kevin O'Connell needs to be mentioned in that too now. But like, yeah, and you could make an argument for every single one of them. My thing is, can you do it with a bad quarterback? Andy Reid has done this several times in the NFL with bad quarterbacks or not great quarterbacks. However, he could never win unless he had the best. And so, yeah, anyway, Offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy. We all know that guy, two-time Super Bowl champ. He was the coach of the year back in 2018. Was really, really bad for a while. Played some college football. Played for the New York Dragons, the Carolina Cobras, the Georgia Force, the Columbus Destroyers. Man, I love those teams. The AFL's got some cool uniforms and teams, but never really did much in the NFL. He was on the Eagles practice squad for a little bit, but whatever. Coaching, man, went started coaching freaking Pennsylvania High School. I love it. Mannheim Central, Cedar Crest High School, Palmyra area high school. Like, I love it. Then he gets his first chance to be a coach's assistant in Philly in 2008 under Andy Reid with the Eagles. Was with them there. Then he went with them over to Kansas City, became the head coach of the Bears. Was awful. A lot of poor decisions, a lot of poor choices, and got fired. Went back to Kansas City, and I think he'll be there for the long haul. Now, here we go. Let's talk the evil villain. I think probably the best coach on the field, if I'm going to be honest with you. Steve Spagnuolo. Spags. This guy is really, really good at what he does. And so let's go back to the Kyle Shanahan. And he's going to talk about Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, and kind of what he's done.
I think it's gotten better and better each year. I thought last year was the best defense that we played all year. And I feel that way this year so far. So they got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing his scheme for a while. He's been doing a scheme for so long, but they continue to add to it. They continue to fine tune it. And I got a lot of respect for him and his scheme.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think, yeah, Lee Spags is the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. I think it was so ballsy that Kyle Shanahan called Andy Reid and said, can we interview him? Like him and John, like, I get it. Like, hey, we want to hire Spags. Like you'd have to trade for him to do a lateral move, but good Lord. I'd trade for him in a heartbeat. Gosh, he's so freaking good. And yeah, he's done really well against Shanahan. I would not go out to say that far, Bobo, but he's damn good. Four-time Super Bowl champ. 3-5 all-time versus Shanahan, but the two Super Bowls matter. Now, this is a guy, again, another guy that coached his way up to the top. Started at Massachusetts as a GA. Then he was a personnel intern for the Washington Redskins, went back to Lafayette College, Connecticut, coached for the Barcelona Dragons in the NFL World League. Freaking love that. Back to Maine for a few years, Rutgers, Bowling Green, back over to Germany as a DC for the first time for the Frankfurt Galaxy. Then in 1999, he joined Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid and was there for a long time. What's that? 7 years, 8 years. Then he was the Giants DC. Then he was the St. Louis Rams head coach for 3 years. Didn't go well. Saints defensive coordinator, Baltimore's coach, New York Giants again. And in 2019, he went back to Kansas City. And yeah, he's won 3 Super Bowls since he's been there. So I do agree. If I could have any defensive coordinator in the NFL, number one would be Spags. Number two would be Brian Flores. Number three, I'm going to go Jeff Ulbricht. I'm just going to keep putting that out there, baby. Jeff Ulbricht, DC for the future. Jeff Ulbricht, DC for the future. Jeff Ulbricht, DC the future. That's what I want, baby. I hope it goes well. I don't hope it goes well. I'm not even rooting for it. I can't root for the Jets anymore. I know they named him interim head coach, and I don't want bad things to happen, but, man, I don't like the Jets. I've never liked the Jets. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I like a lot of people on that team, but, man, no, I want to go bad. I want Ulbricht back with us. I want Ulbricht. That's the DC I want. But hopefully Sorensen is so freaking badass the rest of this year that that's a thought of the past. That's what I truly want. I want Sorensen to become the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's not on his way. Doesn't mean he cannot improve. I thought his first half in back-to-back weeks was good. Second half in back-to-back weeks, not so good. Yeah, I want Nick Sorensen to be the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL. But let's just start a path towards a good DC. That's what we need from you. Baby steps. I don't need perfection, Sorensen. I just need improvement, right? I say that to my son all the time. He gets mad at me. I do my coach talk. All right, let's talk injuries. Man, 49ers coming off a mini bye. Didn't really seem to help too much. Juwan Jennings out. Number one wide receiver. Yeah, I did say that. He is our number one wide receiver. He's been the best this year. On limited snaps, he's not playing. That hurts huge. Because as I was building up and preparing for this entire week, I thought this was going to be a Juwan Jennings game. Because he's better against man coverage than our other two wide receivers. Yeah, Ayuk could get an amazing separation, but it's just not consistent. Hasn't been consistent all year. Juwan Jennings is our best against man. Now you got to rely on those other guys. Look at Alejandro. Big Kittle or Ayuk game. I'm going Kittle game. Kittle's going to score another touchdown. It should be a big Ayuk game. But he's just been inconsistent. He could beat man coverage, but it takes him a while nowadays. So, you know, we're doing – so I don't know. I cannot bet anything on Ayuk. You know, we do our best of the week. We'll do that at the end of the show. I can't ask another human being to put any money on number 11 performing consistently. I cannot do that. So I hope – and that's kind of what it's been every week, right? Man, I hope 11 shows out. He showed out the first half of that one game. That was it. He's only had one good half. That was it. And it was awesome, but I don't know, man. Who's going to be that number three wide receiver? I'm coming out and tell you now, it's going to be Jacob Cowing. I know everybody wants Ricky Pearsall. It's going to be Jacob Cowing. I'm telling you that right now. It's going to be Jacob Cowing. It's going to be Jacob Cowing. Jake Moody's out. Matt Wright's out. We got not one, but two kickers out. If you want to know how the 49ers special teams is doing, Kevin Givens is good to go. Debo, I'm rocking my Debo jersey. And so like it, or my shirt. Shout out to Homage. If you want awesome custom 49ers gear, the link is in the description of this video. Homage, you want starter jackets, t-shirts, Christmas coming up. Man, we're old. You don't know what you want. And family's asking, what do you want for Christmas or your birthday? Just send them that link. Use that link. It helps me out and gives whoever buys it a discount. And it's just nothing but Niners stuff. And it's the most, I do not fly in the airport unless I'm wearing an Homage t-shirt because I get hot, uncomfortable on planes. It's the most comfortable t-shirt I own. I own like all of their t-shirts. Thank you, Homage. Anyway, I'm rocking by Debo. If Debo plays like Debo could play, 49ers win this game. The problem is the last time Debo played against the Chiefs was his worst game of his NFL career, and it happened on a Super Bowl. I understand it was hurt. I understand the hamstring was acted up. I get it. Still facts. Jordan Mason practiced every single day. Did have that blue non-contact jersey, but he is good to go. That is great news. And Ricky Pearsall will be activated. That's huge. Oh, I like this agency. Pearsall, 5 targets, 3 catches, 1 touchdown. This is why you draft Pearsall. This is the type of game where Pearsall should shine. He gets open versus man coverage. That's his elite trait, right? The problem is the dude's practiced 1 week. And if you combine all of training camp, all of preseason, all of the season, he might have 2.5 weeks practice combined. Yeah, the gunshot wound was like 50 days from Sunday. So like dude got shot in the chest, 50 days later going to play a game. Unbelievable. I love this dude. And that stadium is going to go bonkers whenever he walks out there. Oh, it's going to be awesome. But again, there goal line is where he will be successful. So I like the touchdown. I do like that. RTP, what's up, Matthew? He says, we get to see what Pearsall brings against man-to-man. Gosh, man. And yeah, right here. Monkey, I'm with you. I don't expect to see Pearsall too much, but would love to see him at our red zone efficiency. Yes, that's exactly correct. I expect to see more Jacob Cowing, Chris Conley. Now, you put Roddy Bell out there. Oh, man. Don't do that. He's got to play, but... Oof, not good. Chiefs, man, they're probably as healthy a team as there is in the NFL. Juju Smith-Schuster is questionable. Mike Dana, their starting defensive end, is out. That's it. That's their entire – Juju's going to play, by the way. It's crazy. Now, IR, they have stacked a few injuries. They don't have many. They have 3 injuries. Marquise Brown, wide receiver they traded for, he's on IR. Rashee Rice, the racing machine. He's on IR, done for the season. So, like, their top 2 wide receivers, that hurts them. Isaiah Pacheco, their number 1 running back's out. So is ours. And then Charles Omenihu, who, you know, was with us, had all those domestic violence stuff, whatever else. He's on PUP. So, he's not playing either. And take that for whatever you will. So, but they're very healthy. They're very healthy. Now, the history of this matchup, Chiefs are up 9-7, pretty close. And obviously, you know, you talk about stupid game. Get so mad. Every time I go back to, you know, kind of what's going on. You know, last time we played with the Super Bowl, obviously lost 25-22 in overtime. It's what it is. I ain't going through these stats. I'm going to get mad. But that's okay. Let's go now. Let's shift it over. Let's talk about the Chiefs defense and kind of what their rankings are, diagnose their tendencies, their blitzes, their scheme, their coverages, all those fun things. But before we do, the number one way to support this show right here.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
All right. Now, I like this question. Oh, no. Was it deleted? It was deleted. Don't delete it. Oh, here we go. Mark. He says, how is Dow their top two wide receivers and first running back extremely healthy? That's the fewest injuries on IR of the entire NFL, right? So, like, you got to put it in perspective. They got three guys. 49ers got, like, 12. They got, like, 12. Now, and again, It's stacking injuries. Three players on IR is like a godsend. The 49ers got 12. And so it's all comparable. Yes, injuries are bad, but their studs are injured. Their top two wide receivers are the running back. But still, like, I think the Chiefs are healthier than almost any team in the NFL. I really do believe that. Like, I don't think there's any team with as few people on IR. I think they're number one. I could be wrong, but they're definitely towards the top healthy. Three players on IR? Man, look at us. Hargrave, Christian McCaffrey, Hufanga, Yetur Gross-Matos, John Feliciano, Ambry Thomas, Elijah Mitchell, Curtis Robinson, Dre Greenlaw, Drake Jackson, Ricky Pearsall. And we got players we can't even put on IR because we're going to run out of spots. We got two kickers on our injury report. Anyway, that's what it is. So, all right, let's talk Chiefs defense, which is what they're best at. Out of 32 NFL-ranked teams, points scored, they're sixth. Total yards allowed, ninth, top 10. Now, they're not forcing turnovers. That's the one thing. They've only forced four turnovers on the year, which is 24th. Like, they're not winning the turnover battle. Patrick Mahomes has six interceptions. They're just winning by keeping a game close and delivering in the fourth quarter. That's their entire MO. Ninth and first downs allowed, 22nd in interceptions, only two interceptions on the year. Fifth in rushing yards allowed. That's kind of where, and probably the best matchup of this entire game, is 49ers run offense versus Chiefs run defense. They're fifth. The 49ers are third. What's going to happen? The Chiefs haven't allowed one rusher over 50 yards. The 49ers' worst game we've had a 77-yard rusher. What happens when a movable object meets an unstoppable force? Jordan Mason's what's going to happen. And if Kyle Shanahan will just freaking, I got to choose my words carefully here. Almost got a little graphic. You got to lay it out there, bro. Come on, man. Go run the damn ball. Run the damn ball. They're fourth in rushing touchdowns allowed, only allowed two. They're fourth in yards per rush allowed, only allowed 3.7. But if you told me the 49ers are going to get 4 yards per carry, I'm saying run the ball 40 times. I'll take that. I don't care about that. If you're giving me 4 yards per carry, run the damn ball, Kyle. Run the damn ball, Kyle. 14th and third down conversions. They're average there. You can move the ball. You can sustain drives. That's going to be huge. And they're 10th in the red zone. It's not like they're like elite. So let's go to our quarterback, John Deere himself. What did Brock Purdy think about the Chiefs defense when breaking down tape?
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the Super Bowl last year, they made some adjustments of going to more man coverage and making us win in those kind of matchups. And so, you know, for us, it's like, all right, obviously we got to be ready for that kind of stuff, but it's a whole new year. It's a new season, and they're going to be making their tweaks and adjustments as well. So it's not like we're going to get just that. You know, they're going to come in with their scheme and try to dial some things up against us, and so are we. And so for us, it's going in. It's being dialed in every play with whatever the situation is, and playing our standard and our way of football. If we could just do our job really well, I think everything will fall into place how it needs to, and we're a really good team if we can do that. So that's how I'm looking at it. I know all the guys in the locker room are doing the same thing, and you know, we just got to be ready for all the situations and be on top of our plays and our answers within the game.
I love just the aspect, and you hear this from Debo, you hear it from Kittle, you hear it from Purdy, you hear it from Kyle. Look, we got to be us. Like, yeah, their defense, they do whatever. They got to respond to our offense. And I like that this kind of permeating mentality from the captains and the coaches, we do us. They've got to stop us. And so this kind of, you know, okay, what are you going to do to stop the Chiefs defense? No. It's like the, I don't know if Watchmen, any Watchmen fans here, like, you guys got it wrong. I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me. Like, that, like, mentality matters. And it's starting to come across. Now, and here's where the kind of differentiation takes place. Kyle and Brock, check out everything. And I get it. You got to get to the right play and all that stuff. But, man, I would just love for it just to be like, you know what? We're not can-canning a bunch of calls today. We're going to call runs and play actions, and we're just going to come for your neck. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to come right at you. We're going to come right at you. That's what I want to see. And, yeah, filthy casual. Is Mason starting? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. What's up, Steven? Appreciate you, man. Man, my shoulder's getting like I'm ready to go. I got my coffee going. Oh, I'm ready to go. Look at this agency. Action beats reaction. That's right. Action, Jack. Reaction. We get the speed references in here. We got some Dennis Hopper. That's what I'm talking about. Mason, 20 carries, 100 yards, one touchdown. You know what's crazy? My bet of the week, I'll tell you right now. They've got Jordan Mason at 57 yards. That's the over-under. 57. That dude almost, he got close to that in the first half. Now, the injury, if that, you know, whatever, but I'm betting the over, man. You got to run the ball. You got to run the ball. And yeah, right here. Got a feeling Grindo gets more carries. Whoa, more carries than Mason. That's crazy talk. But as long as we're getting carries, obviously Jordan Mason is a million times better than Isaac Grindo, but as long as anybody is getting carries, that's all I care about. I don't care if it's Kyle Juszczyk getting outside zone carries. Debo, cool. Run a jumbo sweep with Kittle. Don't care. As long as we're getting carries, the 49ers are going to be fine. I believe that. Now, the strengths on their defense, there's really Chris Jones, who we talked about a lot, and their corners. They are very sticky in man coverage. But you look at the weaknesses, like this defense isn't the same defense we played in the Super Bowl. It's not. Their second best player is gone, L'Jarius Sneed, and he balled out against us. He's gone. Their linebackers not playing up to par this year. The tape is not great. They're good, and they're highly athletic, and they can run with tight ends. But no, man, they're not playing like they were last year. Corners, any corner not named McDuffie, is good. They're not bad corners, but they're not all world. So if Spags is going to do that man cover zero BS, which he does more than almost anybody, you know, they run more cover zero and cover two man than any team in the NFL. The Vikings are second. We struggled there. But you can go out there. They're a 4-3 team, and they play every single coverage. I mean, you name it. Cover zero, cover one, cover two man, cover three, quarters, cover six, cover seven. They do it all. They're one of the few teams that like literally run every single coverage known to man. And so it's a lot. Blitz-wise, Look at when they played the Saints, their most recent game, they blitzed 11 times on pass plays. Chargers, 8 times. You go back to the Super Bowl when we played them, they blitzed Brock Purdy 19 times. Expect to see the blitz. 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 Now, the best matchup, and I was going to save this one till later, but yeah, we're talking about it, and I want to stay with this. Let's talk about this Chris Jones versus Dominic Pooney. Now, Chris Jones, he lines up everywhere. He kind of gets the Bosa, I pick where I go, everybody else, I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm the big dog here. I mean, he lines up wide 9, 7, tight 5, 3, 2, 1, shade on both sides of the ball. The dude goes wherever he wants. But his primary position is that left defensive tackle. That's over our guard, Dominic Pooney. Here's Chris Forster talking about Dominic Pooney versus Chris Jones.
The game on Sunday, I'll let you know, I think he's going to definitely have his hands full. Pooney's done an excellent job for us, you know, but he's got his, every week it's a different challenge. And every week when the new guys show up, he's got something else he's got to work on. And now it's another guy. And the better players now have more of a book on him. You know, they've seen 4 or 5, 6 games on Dom, and now all of a sudden some things have shown up. So will Chris use that? How many times will they put him over there to get the one-on-ones with them? I know every great rusher tries to, they find a place to put their guy that they think the best matchup is so he can best exploit. I mean, you don't want, not that Chris Jones and Trent, it's a great matchup. It's fun to watch, and Chris Jones will have a chance to beat Trent. But in the same sense, if you could put him somewhere else, you might want to put him there, and how strategically they place him in their defense. You know, to say I have confidence in Dom, I want to see more how Dom reacts as the game goes on, and then next week it follows up. Because to say that he's going to go in there and dominate, or you know, he's going to have his hands full. I know he will. So,
Chris Jones is so damn good. Like he's really good. Like you look at across the NFL, there's a few positions where there's an outlier. Chris Jones is the outlier for defensive tackles, period. Period. Linebackers is Fred Warner, right? Safeties, Mika Fitzpatrick. That's what it is. And so, like, you have these outliers in certain positions. They got one. Christian McCaffrey, he ain't out there, right? He's one of those. Trent Williams is one of those. We have a lot of outliers. But traditionally, he has had his best games against us. And with all of our miscommunications, which continue to happen with Brindle under center and will continue to happen with Brindle under center, that's what it is. Now, right here, Rainier. John, do you think Sorensen is going to use one of our linebackers to spy Mahomes? We don't usually spy too much, but what we'll do is our zone drops are kind of spy-esque, where we drop to that hook-to-curl zone 5 and 7 outside. And so I hope we stay in so much zone. Now, cover one unders, kind of a spy as well. We do that a lot, and I hate that, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So, with that, I appreciate that question. Let's switch it. Let's go to the Chiefs offense, and let's talk about them and kind of, you know, what this offense has looked like, because it hasn't been good. It has not been good. 11th in yards. They're 25th in turnovers. They have 8 turnovers. Mahomes has 6 picks, and they got 2 fumbles. Not good. 25th in turnovers. And it's a testament to how quality this team and coaching staff is that they're not having a good offense and turning the ball over and still winning close games. Like, their DNA is we win close games. That's their identifying trait. Offense, defense, special teams. If the game's close, we win it. That's just how they have built this, whatever it is. Will that continue? We'll see. 31st in interceptions. Like, good Lord. Back-to-back weeks. Geno Smith has 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Can you get another one? And, you know, on our bets, I didn't bet this. The payout's not good. Like, the betting payout of Patrick Mahomes to throw an interception, like, you bet 10, you get back, like, $4. Because Vegas is like, yeah, this dude's going to throw a pick. He's thrown an interception against us every game, except for the one Jimmy G blew his knee out. But every other game he's played against us, interceptions galore. So I expect that to continue. I really, really do. 7th and first downs, they move the chains consistently. They just don't have any explosive plays. They have the 3rd fewest explosive plays on offense. What is that about? Like, Yeah, that's just crazy to me, thinking you have Patrick Mahomes and you have the third fewest explosive plays. Like, this defense is carrying this team. It's not close. It is not close. Ninth in rush attempts, 16th in rush yards, 11th in rush touchdowns, 27th in rush yards per attempt, 3.9. They're still going to run it. It's small ball on offense, man. Dink and dunk. Most of the passes are behind the line of scrimmage. Screen, screen, screen. Dink and dunk, dink and dunk. Now, they have 100% success rate going forward on fourth downs. You got to be kidding me. They're ninth best in third downs. When it matters, they show up. When it matters, they show up. But here's what's crazy. They are worse than the 49ers offense in the red zone. They're 29th. Like, it's weird. Like, this Patrick Mahomes, this Andy Reid. Like, again, this is trivial on my part, like, because I get the emails, fire Kyle, whatever, we should hire somebody like Andy Reid. And I'm like, wait a second, you're emailing me about how terrible Kyle Shanahan is in the run game and how terrible he is in the red zone. And then you're saying hire somebody like Andy Reid. And I look up Andy Reid stuff and I'm like, he's worse in all those categories. Anyway, context matters. This is my therapy. You guys email me your therapy. I will respond. Sometimes it takes me longer to get back than I hope. But and then I got to regurgitate this back out on top of you. It's just what it is. And yeah, filthy casual. A lot of Mahomes' interceptions were called back by the refs, and they will continue to be. They will continue to be. Invader, John, can you imagine a guy like Ronnie Lott today's game? It would be criminal. I've never seen anybody hit like he did. You had to pay a price. And it's the Niners have a history. You can go all the way back to Dick Nitrane Lane, baby. Like, there is a fee to be paid for going over the middle. You come into my area, you get checked. Ronnie Lott was the best of the best. There's no doubt about that. And shoot, you can talk about Merton Haynes. You can talk about Dante Hittner. And you can talk about Drake Greenlaw. Like, we've got guys that have followed in those footsteps. And we got a lot of thumpers at safety now. Hufanga, can he stay healthy? Jair Brown coming off his best game of the season. He's a thumper. Malik could kill somebody. But yeah, like, it's hard to, you know, it's easy to get in NBA arguments because the game really hasn't changed too much. The three has changed. They like greats and whatever else. But man, NFL, talk across generations, difficult. Ronnie Lott could play at any time. You got to adjust. You can't just kill everybody, head to the side, can't head to the head or neck area, all that stuff. Ronnie Lott could play. Shoot, man. If he was too violent, you could put Ronnie Lott at fullback. You could put him at tight end. You could put him at linebacker. You could put him anywhere you want. Can we talk about Ronnie Lott, man? You're going to get me in trouble, Invader. I'm not going to talk about anything else. Now I'm too excited. Too excited. Now, back to the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Strengths? You got to say Patrick Mahomes, but that's not based off this year. It's not. You got to say Travis Kelce. That's not based off this year. It's not. The speed of Xavier Worthy scares me. We suck for speedy wide receivers. He's the fastest player ever. Their interior offensive line is the strength of their team, in my opinion. That unit, Thuney, and then you've got Creed Humphrey, one of my favorite players ever out of the draft, and Trey Smith. That might be the best guard-center-guard combo in the entire NFL. Like, that interior offensive line is freaking stacked. Creed's the best center in the NFL. Thuney and Trey Smith are top seven guards. Like, that is good. Their tackles are, you switch over to weaknesses. Juwan Taylor, the right tackle, most penalized player in the NFL. He's not good. He's the 58th ranked offensive tackle in the NFL. Their left tackle is a replacement guy, Wanya Morris, 57th ranked offensive tackle. He's not good. They drafted Kingsley Suamatia in the second round out of the draft. And he got benched after week two. They might put him back in after the bye week. He might get another chance. I hope he does. He's bad. Wide receivers are bad. Like, this is not a good offense. And you hear Patrick Mahomes and Kelce. I get it. They're not good. They're not good yet. That could change. And I know Patrick Mahomes is going to be the greatest, if not one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to have played the game. This year is not it. The offensive line and the lack of weapons are hurting him consistently. And so Andy Reid said, look, dude, we're going to small ball this guy. We're going to kick field goals. We're just going to try to muster up a decent drive. and we're going to win on defense and special teams. That's what they're doing. Let's just get into the playoffs, which they will. And then once we're in the playoffs, then they hit the switch. That's what they do. It's what they do. All right. Scheme, screens, play action, and checkdowns. That's all they do. Like, they do not throw the ball. I think I still have this picture of Mahomes' passing chart. Yeah, here we go. Check this out. This was his most recent game against the Saints. They threw the ball 39 times. He threw for 331 yards. I mean, all these passes are all close to the line of scrimmage or behind it. He's got 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12 passes behind the line of scrimmage. And then he's got another, let's see, 3, 5, 7, 9, another 10 passes within 5 yards. The dude's not throwing the ball deep at all. But it's working. No touchdown passes, one interception. It's just dink dunk, man. It is the most dink and dunk offense. And whenever you watch it, you're just like, oh, okay. Just checked it down. Okay. Oh, he just checked it down. Oh, there's a screen. Oh, he just checked it down. Oh, he's checking it down again. Nope. Oh, there's a slant. Like, you get excited for a slant pass or a stick route, like 6 yards downfield. You're like, oh, like that's exciting. Like, it is bore you to death offense. It really, really is. But it's working. It's working. 11 personnel, they don't do a lot. They use a lot of tight ends. Only 53% 11 personnel. That's bottom five in the NFL. That's one tight end, one running back. 12 personnel, 10th most, and 13 personnel, third most. That means we're going to be in our 4-3. That means we're going to have three linebackers out there. That's not good. Our linebackers and our safeties are killing us, by the way. No explosive plays, only 8 deep passes in the entire season. They've only completed 4 of them. 20 or more air yards, only 8 times. Brock Purdy did that in a game. 5% of deep balls is the lowest I have ever seen. Of all their dropbacks in the season, 5% have traveled 20 or more air yards. That's the lowest number I've ever seen. And I was breaking down tape in Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan era. That dude was at like 8 or 9%. Like, this is crazy. Having said all these things, he's probably going to beat us deep 3 times. It's just the way life works. Their entire offense is like, look, just survive until 3rd down, 4th down, then let Mahomes just go crazy. 23% play action is insane number, and 19% of screens. Like, there are so many anomalies whenever you look at the analytics of what Andy Reid does. He's always been a high screen guy. He's always been a high play action guy. It's really more play pass than play action. Play pass is shotgun. Patrick Mahomes gets the ball and kind of holds the ball down for like a zone read clear, but never really face it too much. You know, play action is you're under center, you turn the back to the defense, and you do a hardcore run fake, then turn around. Like, they're more of a play pass team than a play action team, but it registers the same, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like a watered down play action, but they do it freaking 23% of the time. Oh, Kyle Shanahan, I wish you would do it once. He does it more than once, but that much is awesome, especially when you're predicated on the run game. It just seems to work. It really, really does. All right, let's get to my favorite matchups this game. Let's start with the 49ers on defense. The best matchup for the 49ers is Nick Bosa versus Wanya Morris. Nick Bosa is coming off a game with 14 pressures. Such a huge impact to the run game. He's going to be able to do now. Here's the thing. Going against the tackles is one thing, but I just told you how much they use tight ends. He's going to be fighting off tight ends and tackles. That's just what it's going to be. Their best matchup is Creed Humphrey versus anybody. He is the best center in the NFL. Our defensive tackles haven't been great. You've got Collins, who at times is a beast, and you've got Evan Anderson. Hopefully we activate him. After that, it's kind of a mess. Creed Humphrey versus anybody is their best matchup. Best on best, I'm going to go Fred Warner versus Travis Kelce in coverage. Fred Warner versus Kelce blocking is not a competition. But again, this offense doesn't really have a lot. Now, when 49ers are on offense, let's flip the script. The best 49ers matchup, running off the freaking edges. Running off the defensive ends. Karloftis and Felix and Aduke Uzama. Not good against the run. They are pass rush guys. So, and you know, I was going to say Trent versus Felix, FAU is what I call him, running to the left. But I'm going to be honest with you. man, Colton McKivitz, the run game has been stellar all year. Run the ball off tackle. And so I remember somebody made the comment about Isaac Garendo. He can't do that yet. He has not shown he can do that at all. He has to run inside, and whenever you call it outside zone, he cuts back inside immediately before the blockers are set up. So that's whenever I read that comment, I kind of hesitated. I was like, man, this should be an off-tackle script. Off-tackle script. C-gap. This is the most George Kittle game ever, run blocking-wise. I do think Kittle gets in the end zone, but run blocking-wise, George Kittle, man. Whatever side George Kittle's on, right side, left side, with Trent, with McKivitz, don't care. Run it off tackle. Run it off tackle. Make their safeties come up and be the alley player. Our struggle with it. Make them struggle with it. That's my favorite matchup for us on offense. The Chiefs' best matchup whenever the 49ers are on offense is McDuffie versus Debo and man. Oh, that's bad. I'm wearing the Debo shirt to try to conjure whatever confidence. The D in Debo stands for disappear man coverage, and I hate that. Debo had his worst game ever in the Super Bowl. I really hope Debo comes out pissed off and does something about it. I love Debo. And I know a lot of times it sounds like I'm really critical of him. And the people I love, I'm critical of. That's just what it is. I always used to tell my players, like, dude, if I'm not coaching you hard, and if it doesn't seem like I'm getting on your rear end, just know I've given up. Like, I'm done. Like, some people can't handle it. I get it. That's okay. You know, but if you want to be great, I'm going to coach you to be great. And if you don't want to be great, why am I going to, like, I'm still going to coach you, but nah, we are not all the same, right? It's high school. You're not pros. That's not what it is. These guys are pros. Debo can be great. He's got to win some of those 50-50s. He's got to win some of those 50-50s. McDuffie versus Debo and man scares me like nobody's business, because Spags can roll the coverage to Ayuk to make the blitz hot read be Debo and man coverage. So we did all Super Bowl. He didn't deliver on any of them. You can talk about Chris Jones versus Brindle. That's also one of theirs. They've got a couple. Best on best, Chris Jones versus Trent Williams. Hit Dominic Pooty. He's getting in that conversation. That's just what it is. So it's going to be fun, man. There's matchups everywhere. This is good football. These are two great football teams. I know one's 5-0, the other's 3-3. But you'd be crazy if you didn't think these are two of the best football teams in the NFL. Even if you look on betting sites, the number one betting Super Bowl matchup is 49ers Chiefs. Again, I'll take it. I want to beat them. Now, let's get to our bets of the week. And man, we have been rolling. We really have. We have not had a big loss week. We had one week where we lost a little bit, one where we broke even. The rest have been positive. If you haven't been bet with us, come on, man. Get on board.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
So I posted all of the bets for week 7 up on our Patreon page and the 49ersrush.com if you want to see those. We hit our Thursday night teaser bet, the first leg of it. We'll see what happens with the rest of it. But we've been hitting on those big time. I've got a 3-team teaser. I am betting the over on Jordan Mason rush yards at 56.5 yards. I'm excited about that one. And my long shot bet of the week, again, if you're a gambler, Jacob Cowing touchdown anytime. You bet $2, you win 40. I bet more than that. But just throw a couple bucks down on that one. It's kind of fun. I bet more than that. But yeah, we'll see. It's a long shot. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Now, my predictions for this game. The most important thing that the 49ers can do, you know, if there's like, okay, John Chapman, you get to assure one thing happens, it would be tackling for the 49ers defense. If the 49ers can get out there and freaking tackle their rear ends off without all these missed tackles that they've been having nonstop, Devondre Campbell, even Nick Bosa got a lot of missed tackles, even Fred Warner. But all missed tackles are not the same. Let's go to our new DC, Nick Sorensen, on the importance of tackling and all the different types of tackling.
How violent you finish and how well you tackle. I think that's the most important thing. If they're going to check it down, are they checking it down in five? So what's happening after that? Is he getting hit? Are we punching it out? Are we hitting him with, you know, two, three guys on a compression tackle? What's the stack monster? How are our D-line coming out? Are they hitting him too? So what do those look like when they're throwing it is what matters. You know, whether it's an RPO or perimeter screen, you know, if they're going to catch it at five and get eight or nine, that's not good.
There you go. What are you going to do? Alejandro says, man, safe bets, John. My favorite safe bet is 49ers money line in the first half. That's my favorite safe bet. So basically, the 49ers go into halftime with the lead. That's my favorite. We're a first half team. They're a second half team. That's my number one. There's a lot of safe bets, but you got to pay attention to the payouts. They're all different. Anyway, check those out. Again, post our bets every single week. The49ersRush.com and our Patreon channel. Link is in the description of the video. 7-week free trial. Go sign up. You don't like it, you can cancel. Cost you nothing. But, man, we're basically paying for your membership and then some with our bets every week. So hopefully that continues. Not saying it will. Things could take a turn, but it's what it is. So tackling's the most important for the 49ers. It's the biggest determining factor this week if the 49ers are going to win. You tackle, quit giving up all those yards after catch on the missed tackles. That's huge. Defensively, you got to have your studs be your studs plus one. Studs be your studs plus one. Diamador Lenore, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. They have been consistently amazing. They got to continue plus one more. Plus one more. Some predictions. Here we go. I got Bosa getting one sack, two tackles for losses. I've got Diamador Lenore. He has been a tackling machine lately, basically playing linebacker in a lot of sets. 6+ tackles and one pass breakup. Fred Warner, 9 tackles and a pass breakup. Like, he's going to get a chance to get a pick. I almost put a pick, but they're so hard to predict. Somebody's going to get an interception on the 49ers defense. I'm telling you that. But who could be that fourth stud? Jair Brown, coming off his best game. Leonard Floyd, ooh, this game would make a lot of sense. He's getting better. His tape is improving consistently. He's fallen down too much. Charvarius Ward, I expect him to be back this week. I don't like it. Can he play well against his former team coming off an injury? The last time he was in this situation, he went out there and got toasted, gave up 7 receptions on 7 targets for a ridiculous amount of yards. Somebody's got to step up. Malik Collins, one of the linebackers, a safety. Good Lord. Any safety, please have a good game. Good gosh, man. Good gosh. Sorensen will blitz, but I hope he won't. Stay in our base zone coverage. That is the way to beat the Chiefs. Stay in your base zone coverage. Stop doing your cover one man BS. I know we got a pick in it last week, but I don't know. I hope we run a bunch of zone because that helps. When the defenders are dropping in their zone and reading the quarterback, that makes check down screens and all those things, they react quicker. When you're in man and you turn your back to run and cover and run with a wide receiver, tight end, running back, you can't see what happens behind you. So the rallying and the tackle angles are all improved in zone. I hope we run a lot of zone. Now, field goals are going to happen. I want to bet the Chiefs. I didn't put this in there because the payout went bad, but Chiefs over 2 field goals, but the payout just wasn't that good. You know, I finished my predictions first and then go look at my bets and kind of play with that. And it just, the payout wasn't good. I think the Chiefs get 3 field goals. I think they're going to get to 23 points. That's kind of consistently where they've been. They don't score 30 ever. They haven't even got past 27 in a long time, but they are consistently in the 20 point range. I think 23 points is about what they put up. Now on offense, run, neutralize the blitz, set up play action, go for those explosive plays because of play action passing, keep the defense off the field, run. Mason will be the first running back this season to get over 50 rushing yards against the Chiefs. He will be the first. I have him going 17 for 68 and a touchdown. That's just 4 yards a carry. I'm not even hyping his numbers up. I'm not even hyping his carries up. 17 for 68. That's 15 yards over what the betting line is. Now, will Debo disappear? Man, I really hope that he just freaking goes out there and freaking balls out. I don't care if they run, man. Now, Kyle was asked, man, it seems like Kansas City plays man against you all the time, Kyle.
I think some games we have, some we haven't. You know, last game I didn't see it that way, but, you know, they did more in the Super Bowl than they had in the past. You know, I think in the past they were like 20% man, and they went up to 35% in the Super Bowl. And that's about where they are this year. Last year going into that game, you know, they play more press and stuff than anyone in the league all of last year, and they're still doing that this year too. So, you know, when you're in crucial situations, especially the fourth quarter, they blitz more than anyone in the league last year, and that's true this year too. So usually when that's the case, you see man. So it goes with their scheme, and they definitely did a little bit more last year too.
Yeah, so can you win against man? You know, this is why you draft Pearsall. Man, he just hasn't been able to practice. He's had 1 week of practice, and I hope he gets those snaps, but I think it's going to be more cowing. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Can Ayuk stay involved despite a safety being over the top? He has not done well in those situations at all this year. I hope so. Who's going to be that third wide receiver? I got cowing at 3 catches. 44 yards and a touchdown. Not a monster day by any stretch. But again, that long shot bet of Cowing scored a touchdown. We'll see. Hopefully somebody hits on that and it works out. Purdy continues his great play. 15 rush yards. That's his over-under. I'm not going to bet it. But can he keep with his feet getting 2 or 3 first downs in those scramble situations? That offset. Basically, Mahomes. You know what I mean? Like, do to them what they do to everybody else. Brock Purdy is growing into that role. And I love it. I think the 49ers improving the red zone continues. I think that they get 3 touchdowns and 5 trips. And I do have the 49ers winning. I am betting the 49ers money line this week. I got the 49ers winning 27-23. Can they protect the ball? Can they run the ball? Can they not rely on blitzing to generate pressure? These are all questions. These are our predictions, and anything that I talk about a bet, I put my own money on. Like, I believe these things will happen, but there's always variables. The 49ers are favored in this game for a reason. And the more you watch the tape of either team, you understand why. The more you look at the numbers, the more you look at the analytics, the more you look at it, doesn't matter. Whatever you look at, everything keeps pointing back to the 49ers. I understand the history. I understand Patrick Mahomes. I understand Andy Reid. I understand Spags. I get it. I'm telling you, it's not the same team. 49ers. Back's not necessarily against the wall after the win last week. Go set the damn tone. I don't care what Spags does. I don't care what the Chiefs do. You dictate how this game goes. It's in your home. It's in your backyard. Go put the entire NFL on notice. Oh, love you guys. You are the best. We'll be live tomorrow as soon as the game ends. Therapy? It's going to be a celebration, baby. Love you guys. Until next time. Stay strong, faithful.
Ohio seniors make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.